Hey, everybody, this is Patty. Welcome to the Witching Hour. Yep, the veil is thin and we've got magic for you. I've got a great guest, beautiful guest, the one and only paranormal investigator and drag queen, Monique Tusson. But before we bring on Monique, where is Patty? Because it's Monday. And if you're listening to this when we first drop the week of Monday, March 18th, 2024, I am home. I am home. I'm home for weeks on both sides. I was at Vegas recently. Great. I am getting ready to go to Arizona for the Ghosts of Globe Paracon. Going to be great. Seances, investigations, workshops, private readings. And then you make sure you have your passport because we're going to Romania, a witch and vampire tour with my bestie, Father Sebastian, going all over Romania. There's so much more coming up. I could show you 3 pages of everywhere I'm going, but I don't have to. Just go to pattynegri.com, sign up for my newsletter, and you will get fun occasional newsletters, and it's on my website. But while we're home, remember, Tuesday nights, I am at University Magicus. I teach all sorts of wonderful things you might want to know. Mediumship development, psychic development, spell casting, weight loss, love, magic, haunted dolls. Very, very affordable. Go to universitymagicus.com or magicu.org. And Wednesdays, again, right in front of your computer or phone because witches movie coven. Me and my witchy movie besties, Heather Green, Richard Leal Lalar, Jason Mankey, and Courtney Buckley talk about witches and witchy movies. Really, really good ones and really, really bad ones. And rarely do we agree on which is which, but it's really fun and it's live. So you guys get to get involved in the chat room. Tell us what you think, what you feel. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong. It's a party. So every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Other than that, grab some merch, put on your power panties, and let's hang out. Hey, everybody, guess what time it is? It's time for the Grace Report. Willow is out on a play date right now. And this is one of those commercials that comes with a warning. Never mind the witch, beware of the cat. This is Grace. Grace said she hadn't been on in a while because the last time she bit me, but maybe she's sleepy enough that she won't. So this week, we're going to give cat facts. Cat facts. So what are some good cat facts, Gracie? Do you know that cats only meow at humans? They don't meow at each other. They don't meow at dogs. Kittens will meow at their mamas when they're little, and then it grows out of them. Then they just meow to humans. Isn't that cool? That means they have their own language for us. They can jump 5 times their height. She's pretty short, but 5 times, that means she could jump all the way up to my head, I think. And the other thing that I thought that was amazing about Kat's wig, she's good sleepy. She doesn't bite me, huh? The coolest thing about this little kitty and about your little kitty, do you know that this little kitty is 95.6% genetic makeup of a tiger? 95.6% tiger. No wonder she bites me and scratches on occasion. That's the Willow Grace Report. For this week's magic lesson, we're going to have Belle teach. Well, this week's magic lesson is going to be on haunted dolls because what right now is any more popular than haunted dolls? Nothing. Everybody has one. Some people have big collections of them, like my friend Zach Bagans. He's got a whole museum filled for. We've got Robert the doll. We got Annabelle the doll. We got Peggy the doll. We've got famous dolls everywhere. This one right here, this is Belle. She's my about 110-year-old haunted doll from Germany now. She's got a lovely little spirit in her. So, one thing I want to tell you about the care and feeding of haunted dolls, you want a good one. You want a happy ghost. It's fun to have a haunted. It's fun to have a ghost in your house. I actually have two, her and the spirit that came with my house. But as fun and exciting as a dark haunted doll sounds like, it isn't. When you get one with a dark spirit in it or an evil spirit in it, it makes you sick. It makes you argue. It makes you cranky. So find yourself a really good, really active, happy haunted doll. Now, when you first get, there was a dark spirit in Belle when I first got her, and I banished it. I would not let the sun go down before I got rid of it. And then slowly this beautiful little girl spirit came out. She's a great part of the family. First the dog and cat hated her. Now they love her. You hear her running around upstairs when the whole family is downstairs. So how do you get a haunted doll? Everybody wants one now. They're all over. You can go to eBay. You can go to everywhere. Be wary because they're certainly out there. But if you're looking at a seller on eBay where they have 702 haunted dolls or maybe 40 haunted dolls, I would be a little bit wary. They might have just put a story to a doll. Now, you actually can call in a spirit to a haunted doll, just like those of us who work with dragons and we call in and create the fetish of a dragon. But if you're paying somebody extra money on eBay because it's got a big story to it, and they have a bunch of dolls with a big story, just feel them out. Read the reviews and things. Because one of my favorite places to find haunted dolls is an antique store and a thrift store. Because guess what? They're everywhere. If you were a spirit and you were a disembodied spirit and you needed a place to go, you could go anywhere you want. Do you want to go into a light bulb? Or do you want to go into something with eyes and ears and a face and a nose? You're going to go into this something like this. So they embody them. And then when you have them, you could look at them. This little girl's face, it's porcelain. It doesn't really move, but it moves all the time. People see her eyes move. People see her expression move. Everyone can tell, oh, Belle is happy today. Oh, Belle is sad today. Oh, Belle is day after day. It always shows. But she's a happy ghost. So if you're out and you're at a thrift store or you're at a toy store or even a toy store, again, if you want to call it in, but I'd look for a doll that feels like it has a spirit. See where you're drawn. See where you're pulled to it. Pick it up. Hold it. I believe everybody has psychic ability and mediumship ability. And if it's a cheap little thing, take it home. Look for things like, is it moving? Are things moving around my house? Changes in emotion, changes in how you feel, again, around things, because they can cause that. That's why you want to get a higher vibration doll than a lower vibration doll. When you first get a doll, do protection techniques. When you don't know about it, whether you got it on eBay, whether they knew about it or not. My favorite thing is the herb rue. You can get it lots of places. It's just rue. When she had it, even though once I got rid of the bad spirit, I put a little handful of rue in her little hands, and it kept her from draining people's energies, because haunted dolls, especially dark-sided ones, can drain your energy, and we all need all the energy we can get. So keep protection around them. Make them part of the family. Introduce them to your family. And if they don't fit in with the family, maybe gift them or sell them to somebody who does better. But more than anything, everybody wants a haunted doll, and not every doll claiming to be a haunted doll out there is haunted. Check it out. More to come. That'll be a part two on this. Belle says bye. We have paranormal investigator and drag queen, the one and only, the beautiful, the amazing Monique Too Soon. Welcome, Monique.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
I am thrilled to have you on. We met last year sometime at Massachusetts Paracon. I absolutely fell in love with you. You came in, you took over the room, and I'm like, my new best friend. So I certainly understand drag, and I certainly understand paranormal investigation, but how did they come together? You would have think putting on your best wig and your best heels to go on a paranormal investigation.
So it just happened during COVID, and it happened by accident. Bored at home and trying to figure out how I could do drag again because all my bars were closed. I couldn't do shows. I was losing my creative outlet with drag, and I decided to try ghost hunting in drag. And I ended up going to a place in Mass called the S.K. Pierce Mansion, and I was ghost hunting in there in drag. And the first night I got an electric voice phenomenon, an EVP that said, "He's a lady," and immediately became addicted to it because the ghosts were already calling me out for being a dude. That same night we got things like wig, eyelashes, heels. Like, the ghosts were playing along so well that I became so addicted. Now I can only do ghost hunting in drag.
Wow, that is fabulous. And I bet you that would make them so interesting. Because again, ghost hunting is always so serious. Ghost hunting is always, there's almost a uniform to it. You got your black pants or your black cargo pants. You got your black shirt. You got your black everything. And now let's go. And I'm sure they get a little bit bored.
I feel like other events I've been to, they can be very serious too. And that's great because seriousness is great when you're ghost hunting. But I feel like it should be like 80% serious and 20% entertaining as well. And I have a client that is a really good friend of mine, and she brings her 17-year-old son ghost hunting with her. And it's something that they bonded over when he was a kid, was Ghostbusters. And she wanted to bring him to an event that was different. And she brought him to one of my events. And then I was like, why is this 17-year-old heterosexual male coming ghost hunting with a drag queen? And she told me one day that she overheard him talking to his friends in his room. And they were like ragging on him about going ghost hunting with a drag queen. And he's like, are you kidding me? That's the best part. Because anytime I get truly scared, she says something completely stupid and I start laughing. So it takes the fear out of it. But I love that this like 17-year-old male just came to my defense in a group of his high school friends just to tell them that that was the best part of the event, was the drag part.
That is awesome. And yes, levity, laughter is the best to break anything scary, to break anything negative. But it's an energetic thing. I teach that in my school. When all else fails, when all your protection, you don't know what to do, laugh. It'll confuse the spirits more than anything. It's deep breathing, which will clear your head. It's your air coming out, your breath, which is your pneuma and your life force. It's the moisture in your breath, which is your free will. And you're doing all these valves that open it up. That's the very, very, that's my number one best thing to do with anything. So it's great. Now you get comedy along with it.
Yeah, it takes it to another level. And I do it in full-blown drag, too. I do it in gowns and platforms. I don't half-ass my events in drag. I go in drag and I make it a lot of fun. And I love that the spirits feed off of it, too. The spirits play along with it. I sometimes call myself paranormal vodka because I can spike the spiritual punch in a location in a sense. And like the spirits start doing different things than they normally do for other guests. And we get really cool reactions because of it.
I love it. Yeah, because you're going into the insane asylum or the prison or the whatever, whatever. They probably have even little bleak ghost life as ghosts. And again, everybody coming in. So I'm sure you get some very interesting reactions from the spirit world who maybe have been sitting there since 1922.
Yeah. Yeah. I have at the castle, actually, one of my favorite places. The owner's grandfather is a spirit in there, and his name is Colonel Wilson. And the first day I went ghost hunting there in drag, he actually was very creepily following me around. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just a tad sensitive and I'm learning to develop that. I've been taking your course. And I could feel this man, and I'm like, I feel like there's a creepy old man following me around. And I said it to the owner, and she's, oh, that's my grandfather. And he hits on anything with legs. And I'm like, that's so hysterical that I have like a spirit crush right now.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's brilliant. I'm sure you're bringing beauty and glamour and grace into a place that probably has very little or none of it in forever. That is amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
So what do you think the scariest place that I know you've gone to some really scary places. I looked at your resume, Conjuring, Hillsdale. What is the scariest place you've ever been or the most effect on you?
Yeah, that would be West Virginia State Penitentiary. That place just is truly terrifying. And the fact that the prisoners in there were in there for some of the baddest crimes, and they actually did hangings there. Like, the energy in there is very heavy and very dark. But it's a lot of fun, too, because I feel like sometimes that energy that you get from like a prison or an insane asylum, it's more playful. Like, it wants to, it's a little bit more, not, I don't want to use the word aggressive because it's not negative, but it's just definitely a lot more able to play. It's got a lot more of a battery to it in some of those locations because of the energy they have.
Yeah, I agree. And again, and I don't think any, yes, sometimes spirits are stuck, but most of them are. They're hanging out there because they like it, even at the prison. And it's what they knew in life. They were there 30 years. They're going to go back there. They're not being tortured anymore. So I think it brings them a little color, literally.
I haven't done a prison in drag yet, though. I want to do one so bad.
Ooh, I would love to go.
Sweet, let's plan that. Let's plan it. Patty and Monique in prison.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I could see the photos now. I'll even try to dress up a little. I just do my little witchy thing. I try not to look like Zach Bagans and every other person out there. So I may wear a dress, but it won't be like yours. Your dress.
I can just bring one. I'll bring an extra one for you. You can borrow one of mine.
Okay. We'll do it together. We can do it with you. I love it that, yes, because there have always been cross-dressers and everything before the word drag even existed. And what a great thing you would be doing. And fun. Again, paranormal investigators, they get so serious. And it is serious. Yes, it's a big responsibility. It's a good thing. But holy moly, I'd be getting bored if I was some, especially real active place that people go all the time. Ghost, talk to me. Did it? That same thing. And you can go sing or something.
What was that?
And you could go sing to them.
Yes. They love music. They love to. They love different things like that, like music. They love the laugh you were saying earlier. They seem to feed off of whatever energy you bring. And I feel like if you go in there laughing and having a great time, the spirits are going to feed that right back to you. They're going to play along.
Yeah, 100%. We talk a lot about protection. Do you do anything special, like protection techniques or anything? Or do you use specific style that you do to not bring ghosts home with you, or you bring them home with you? Or
I don't really do anything special. I have a friend that has saged me a few times, and anytime she feels anything is attached to me or is following me, she'll do cleansings on me. I'm not really someone that is super well versed in the cleansing part of it, so I rely on my friends for a lot of that protection. I'm starting to take some of your courses though, so I'm sure I'm going to learn how to do this on my own.
You're gonna learn how to do it. Yeah.
And yeah, I want to find it for your seance.
Yes. Anytime. You are my guest anytime. Yeah, it is all intent, but you do have to be careful. You are a strong personality, though, especially when you're in drag and character. This is you. If you are weak in whatever, somebody's gonna get in you more. But you're not. You're confident, you're firm, you're good. And it's just, even if at the end, Palo Santo or Sage or whatever, just nobody's going home with me. Thank you very much. I promise people up and down after a seance, like, nobody's going home with you, even if you want them to. That's Elton, a different
stay where they are.
Stay where they are. And it's easy enough. You're drag beautiful from head to toe. And I know you wear beautiful gowns and dresses and stuff. But what about shoes? Do you wear beautiful shoes on investigations?
Yeah, so that's something that I've had locations ask me not to wear heels, so I had to get creative with that. And I decided to start using platform shoes. And you saw like the hot pink ones that I wore to that Paracon. So I tend to buy really flashy platforms now to go with the dresses I've had made. And I had those dresses, like you've seen the pink one. I had these dresses actually designed specifically for ghost hunting and drag. And the reason I had them made that way is because when I normally do drag for like a show or for stage or even for like television stuff that I've done, I tend to put a little bit more on, like pads. I wear boobs, I wear a corset. But when I do drag with ghost hunting, I don't want to be uncomfortable or hot because I need to be flexible. I need to be equipment. I need to be able to walk up and down lots of stairs. So I had an outfit design that gave me all of those things without having to put them on. So it gives me hips, it gives me a waist, it gives me a chest, all without actually having to wear all the excessive weight of all of those things. I had these really cool dresses designed just for ghost hunting.
That is fabulous. Now, where do you carry your equipment? Do you? Because that's my issue. If you have those big old cargo pants, here's your K2 meter, here's your this, here's your that, strap around. So have you come up with any pockets yet? I'm working on that for me, my little Stevie Nixie, which
I actually don't. I just have like buckets that I bring things around in, or like a purse kind of bag. I have a Scooby-Doo mystery machine bag that I use a lot that carries a lot of stuff. Sometimes fanny packs are really handy too. We bring fanny packs on a lot of investigations.
They are. So are you a big equipment user?
Yeah, I'm actually an equipment junkie. I teach a series on YouTube called Check Out My Equipment. And I explain the ins and outs of equipment, how to use it, and what it looks like while it's being used. And that's just something I realize that there's not a lot of that information on the websites where you buy it or from the people you get it from. They tell you how to use it, batteries in it, but it doesn't really come with a lot of instruction. And I'm such a tech nerd. Like, I have to have every piece of the latest and greatest technology. I like to bring everything I can on an investigation, equipment-wise.
What is your favorite thing?
Probably Tripwire right now. I love Tripwire.
I do too.
Those light up rods too.
Yeah. Both from NCPD. I love those. Those are about my favorite. It's interesting because on my seance, I've been going, I'll put the Tripwire should be around a seance table. It doesn't work like it does like here down a hallway or here over a curtain. It's interesting. I think the energy is just different when you create it around a seance.
I used it to play Duck Goose.
That would be
in a circle. Yeah, we sat in a circle and we asked the spirits to pick someone they wanted to send away to a room by themselves to do Estes or something else. And we played Duck Goose and it actually was selecting people.
Wow.
It was so cool.
Wow, that would be very cool. I will have to try that one. I just got this new equipment from, they're called Two Faces Paranormal. I was just at a gig in Vegas. Oh my God, they're the size of a thumbnail. They're like this little chip, almost like a thumb drive. They look like thumb drives.
Yeah.
The whole equipment has got motion sensor, EMF, something else, REM pods, one that's got, I will bring them to you next time I see you or bring them. I haven't used them yet. He just brought them. But you're right about directions. I will have to watch your show because that's the moron section of my brain. And I could read something written down and even something that was created by a beautiful inventor in Michigan somewhere. And it's still Greek to me.
Yeah. So it could be the easiest piece of equipment, but could it also seem the most complicated once you pull it out of that box? And I noticed like a lot of times, because I host a lot of events up here in New England, that like when you have people that are ghost hunting for the first time, you really have to know how to explain what the equipment does to them too, because we may know what it does, but not all of us can quite explain what it does. And if we're teaching people how to use it, we really need to know what we're talking about. And so that's just part of the techie in me, the tech nerd in me. Like I have to study everything. I have to learn it. I have to use it in the field. And then I like to share it with the world. I like to share it with our events. And I let the people borrow my equipment when they come ghost hunting with us. It's just something I feel really can add to an investigation. And I love that it also confirms what the mediums are getting or what we're getting out of our sensitive sides. And it's great clarification and confirmation.
That's good. Yeah, that's what I love equipment the most for, that confirmation of what I've been saying forever. If I'm going, spirit's doing this, but you believe me or you don't believe me, now there's an SLS camera or something else that's showing that. It's amazing. Do you have some events coming up people can know about?
Yeah, so right now I have a couple of things scheduled. I do a lot of events at Wilson Castle up here in Vermont. That's one of my favorite locations. It's one of the first places to give me a chance to do events in drag. And it's just such a welcoming, beautiful place. But I also do New Year's Eve at the Conjuring House every year. That is a standing appointment that I have there. I did it 1 year and it was so great that we now do it every single year, until further notice, at least. And then I just added Emery Estates, which is in Weymouth, Mass. And we're doing an event there in July. And I think I'll add another one that is connected to that place. I don't know what the name of it is off the top of my head, but that might be coming up soon too.
So tell me about the Conjuring House. I've heard of Wilson House because I may do an event at Wilson Castle this next year. Bobby, see you there, but I haven't committed to it yet. But Conjuring House, I can't believe I haven't been there. How was that? Is it?
You've never been there?
No. Isn't that weird?
So have you been to Hinsdale?
I haven't been to Hinsdale. And I worked with Daniel Klass.
Oh my God.
No.
You know what's funny is I filmed at Hinsdale with Ghost Finders a couple months ago. And I was thinking you were going to be there because you had just done the New Orleans thing. And I was so excited. And then when I got there and you weren't there, I was like, bummer. But Conjuring House feels like Hinsdale. It's almost like this giant bubble that like goes over the property. And this bubble is trapping all this crazy different amounts of energy in there. And it feels very elemental. It feels it feels like it's constantly changing too. Like you don't get the same stuff every time you go. It changes every single time. But the whole land of the Conjuring House is haunted as well.
Wow.
Ghost hunting outside there is so fun. Like in the woods, we do it at midnight on New Year's Eve. We go out to the bridge in the woods and we ghost hunt in the dark. It's like Blair Witch Project with a drag queen in platforms and a gown in the woods.
Wow.
And the owner is a beautiful human being. She's really cool and she just really loves the whole paranormal world. And she does a lot for the house and for the people that are guests there.
I know. And I love Daniel so much. I first met him and Rob and that whole crew in the UK, in England, at Bosworth Hall.
Okay.
And then I love working with them too. But yeah, so I would have loved to have been on the same one with you. I guess we trade off. The girls trade off.
Yeah, we'll get on one together at some point. I feel that.
I'm sure we will.
So the property of Hinsdale is terrifying because it's so far in the wood, off the beaten path. You can't see light from streetlights, nothing. It's pitch black at night. And the house has a pond on the property, and the pond is maybe, I don't know, like a 3-minute walk from the front door. But at night, you can't even see that far.
So what are you doing at Emory?
So we're doing another investigation. This one isn't an overnight. I do overnights a lot. But this one is just like a 7 to 12. And it's going to be my first time investigating this location as well. So I'm taking a group with me and they're going to experience everything for the first time with me, which I love even more because we learn together and we learn the spirits together. And it's so cool and genuine when it's the first time because you don't go in with any expectation whatsoever. You just go there to learn. And that's one of the cool things I think about going into abandoned places and these haunted locations is you're just learning. You're learning some history and fun history because I really hate history.
I know, me too, but it is interesting. So do you work with a team or is it just you guiding the people who come and get your thing?
Yeah, I'm definitely the alpha. I'm definitely the lead of the team. But I have friends that I work with. I have two mediums that are constantly with me all the time. One of them I just filmed with for Dark Echoes on Paraflix yesterday. And I also have my husband is on my team a lot and some of my friends' husbands. I just gather a lot of people. And then some people that come to my events multiple times end up joining the team. And I usually have a team of 4 people working for an event and we split the group. And it's usually about 20 people in half. And we give them multiple kinds of experiences in one event. We'll do like surveillance ghost hunting where we'll send people away in pairs with Estes method and we'll all watch on a TV as they crap themselves in an attic and we just laugh and have a great time. And then we also do free time where we send people away with equipment and they can just borrow it and go on their own. But I tend to lead the investigation. We usually do a seance if a location allows it. Usually with Sam Baltrusis, actually.
Wow.
He does a lot of seances with us, which are hysterical.
Seance yet.
You haven't? Oh, you're in for a treat when you see the first one. He gets made fun of because he has this like little symbol that he does when he's doing it. And it looks like a vagina in American Sign Language. So people at the events are always like, he can turn anything into something dirty.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I remember years ago working with Sam when he was newer at this when we were talking, because I always talk protection with us, he was giving me this one.
Yes.
One.
It's like the power of vagina symbol. And he's a big old gay man. So it's like, why are we doing that?
I need a seance. That's fine.
It's definitely unique.
All right. Everybody is, I'm sure, loving you like I am. So where can people find you? Let people know. Your social media, websites, any events that you're having?
Yeah, everything is on my social media, which is Monique Toussoun, moniquetoussoun.com, and I'm Monique Toussoun on everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of it, TikTok. I post most of my videos on TikTok, not on my YouTube, but my YouTube is starting to get a little bit more beefy.
Good. All right. Thank you, Monique. Thank you for bringing your beauty and your flash and your everything to the Witching Hour. Come back again.